Well, we need to come to the end of a weekend, a bit of a busy weekend. We've had several occasions in these last couple of days, but I have great news. The best news is now. I think it's the greatest subject ever. I have something really amazing to share with you. It's love. Love. You're looking at me saying, well, we're going to see what is love, who is love, what is the definition of love, what does it do in our lives. I'm going to start. I think it's my favorite page in scripture, as you can see. 1 John chapter 4. First epistle of John, chapter 4. I'm just going to read verses 7 and 8 together, okay? It goes like this. 1 John 4, verse 7 tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. And everyone that loves has been begotten of God and knows God. He that loves not has not known God. For God is love." Now for a moment, I just want to draw your attention to two sentences there in those two verses. Verse 7 says, because love is of God. Verse 8 says, God is love. And you can put those together and you can just make the one sentence. God is love is of God. What is it all about? You know why love is the greatest subject ever? Because it's God himself. God is love. Love is of God. I'm not talking about love that you see in television, on internet, on Instagram. We're talking about that love. We're talking about God himself. God is love. Who is the origin? What is the origin of love? You know, we have an instinct in us to discover where something comes from. Where does it come from? We want to know, don't we? Some of us have more interest in things, others in other things. It doesn't matter. We want to understand something. We want to get to the root of things. Let's get to the root of love. God is love. There's no greater message that I could speak to you and share with you tonight, dear friend. God is love. And if you're a bit confused, love is of God. So whatever way around you turn it, it still leads you to God. Tonight, you have come to meet God himself. I am not God. I'm talking to you about God. Remember. Well, okay, you say, okay, you've told me the origin of it. Let's get going. I want to see it. I want to see it. Yes, we can, because God has not kept it secret. God has manifested his love. Isn't that amazing? What is the amazing thing about a manifestation of a long word? What does it mean? It means that he's revealed it, he's shown it, so that we have an evidence of it. I want you to be sure of this, that when you go out of that room tonight, don't tell anybody that you don't know about God's love. It is evident, and I'm going to prove it to you. It's here. It's written here. Go on, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 9. Herein, as to us, has been manifested the love of God. Getting it? It's just said, the love of God has been manifested to who? To us. You're reading the verse? It's you. God is manifesting his love to you and me. How amazing is that? Goes on. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Wow. Wow. How has God manifested his love? By sending his son in this world. Who? That man that died on the cross 2,000 years ago? Yes. Every day I hear people blaspheming that name and that person. He is the manifestation of God's love. Do you understand how great that news is? God has manifested his love in sending his son. Pay attention. Don't just brush that story thinking it's a past story. It's a story for old people. People that are no longer of this world, of this technology. That's not true. This story is real today. Listen to it. God has manifested his love by sending his son, Jesus, in this world. How amazing is that? We're going to go a bit deeper in a minute. But I want you to ponder. What does ponder mean? It means to reflect. Just think for a minute. Wow, I've heard that story so many times. Is it really that important? It is. It's crucial to your life tonight that you know that by sending his son, he has manifested his love. Love for who? For you and for me, my dear friend. How amazing is that? What a proof, what an evidence that God loves you. Don't go away thinking God doesn't love you. You have the proof here, and I've demonstrated it to you. Remember it wherever you go in your life from now on. Well, the amazing thing, you know what? This would be amazing enough. We could just stop here, you know. I've never heard anything like it, I can assure you. Not because I'm telling you about it, because God is telling us about it. But it goes on. That love has a purpose. That love has a goal. It has an aim. God wants and desires to reach something. What is it? It's the end of that verse. That we might live through him. Isn't that amazing news? Oh, so we're not going to die. God wants us to live. The whole purpose of the manifestation of God's love is that we might live in Christ. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is that if you do one decision tonight, you will be in the enjoyment of this forever. Isn't that exciting? That is thrilling news, my dear friend. I can assure you. Before we go to the practical side, so as to how do I get hold of all this, okay? We're going to see, because there might be some really clever people here, it's not me, but people that like a definition. Scientists want a definition for everything. I have a colleague that says, oh, well, no, what is all quality about? You've got to tell me this and this and that. Okay, so God is available for everyone. And God has a word for everybody. Okay, so here is a definition. We're going to look at the definition of love, okay? So that if you are one of these intellectual people, and you want a definition, you can take this home with you. Verse 10. Isn't that amazing? In 3 or 4 verses, we have the complete message. How incredible is that? You know when you give a book to students, and like, no, I don't have to study all that, do I? Well, you don't have to study anything. Read 4 verses. It takes about 30 seconds to read these verses. 30 seconds can change your life. Remember. Okay, so verse 10 says, herein is love. It's quite a complicated way to put it, but it's meaning this is the definition of love, okay? And it's saying, not that we love God. Why does he say this? Simply because some of us are a bit big-headed and, I can do this, I can do that. No, stop. We're in the gospel. It's nothing about you. It's all about God. You are the person God loves. So if God loves you, stop thinking about you and start thinking about God. Okay? So love has nothing to do with you loving God. You get it? That would be a very poor definition of love, I can assure you, if it depended on me. But that he loved us. Another confirmation of what we just said. But here comes the point. Sent his son, repeating again what we said before, but it adds a little bit, which is crucial. That's why it's a definition of love. It says, as his son, a propitiation for our sins. Oh dear. Now this is a very complicated word. It is. We'll take it out. We'll just explain what it means, okay? But it's crucial to the gospel. And I have to tell you about it. I must tell you about this. Because without this word, this complicated word, you cannot get into the benefit of the gospel. What is it all about? Well, let's face it, my dear friend. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. I don't know anything about you except that you're a sinner. You say, cheek, what do you think? Well, I can assure you. I can assure you. You're just a sinner like I am. Dear friend, we're sinners. We've sinned against God himself. I say, you don't need to prove it to me. You don't need to justify yourself. Just believe it. You know it in your heart, don't you? You know exactly who you are and what you've done, don't you? Yeah, don't tell me. Don't need to tell me. Speak with God. You're a sinner. I am a sinner. Now then, this is a big problem. And it is. It's a colossal problem. Man has studied all sorts of things. Been on the moon. He wants to go on Mars. He wants to do amazing things. And he hasn't sorted the only real problem that he has in his humanity. That is just what man is like. Every problem, brush it away. Brush it away. I am faced with problems at work. I go to the managers and they tell me, oh, it's his fault. I says, I don't care. I don't want to know whose fault it is. We have a problem. We need to sort it. You have a problem. I have a problem. We are sinners. You get that? It's a real matter. God has sorted the problem. How has he done this? In the definition of love. How amazing is that? How has he done this? He sent his son. Okay, you've told me this before. Yes, I have. I'm repeating it to you. Okay, he sent his son so that he died on the cross because of my sin. How amazing is that? That propitiation word means that he bore on the cross the judgment that was to fall upon me because of my sins, not because of the sins of my neighbor, of my friend, of my brother, of my sister, because of my sins. Remember, the gospel is a personal message. It's you and God. Yes, you're sitting in a room. It doesn't matter. God is not limited by these situations, you know. He's speaking straight to your heart. And it's you and God. You can forget everybody else in the room. Don't worry about it. God is speaking to you. God sent his son for you and for me, so that he died because of my sins. You know, my dear friend, I could never carry the burden of my sins before God. God is a holy and just and righteous person. He cannot stand sin. It's not all this about, you know, men say, I cannot stand this and that, and then the next minute, he's got to deal with it, hasn't he? God doesn't stand sin. Sin cannot be in his presence. So what is it all about? How do we get that relationship going? God has set it all out for us. So that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary to wash my sins away. How amazing is that? What a definition. When you read a definition in a dictionary, you're like, it just gets more and more complicated, doesn't it? Then it's got a Latin word somewhere and then a Greek word somewhere else. And like, stop, I don't get it. Well, this is very simple. The greatest definition is what Christ has done for you. He has died on Calvary for your sin, for my sin. That is what God's love is. That's where God, where love comes from. And the purpose is that we should live. Now then, before I tell you how you get it, you'd be thinking, come on, get to the point. Yes, but once I've got to the point, you'll stop listening. So I've got about 5 more minutes for your attention. I'm going to get the most of it, okay? Now, before we go and get the cow, you grasp that and be sure that you have it. I'm going to tell you 3 things. We're going to turn to the first epistle to the Corinthians. Can you guess the chapter? Chapter 13. Sometimes we call that the love chapter. But I'm going to look at it in a different light, okay? I want you to be aware that I have no qualification to stand behind this desk. I'm no different from you. And I know exactly how you feel and how I feel. And I live in the same world as you live, in the same society, with the same troubles and struggles that you have, okay? So there are 3 amazing things that I want to share with you that have to do with love. This chapter speaks about having love as if it was a possession. And I can assure you by the end of the gospel, in a few minutes, you will know how you can have it and be sure to have it in your heart. Okay? But I'm going to tell you this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What? Let me explain this. What he's saying here is that if I could speak all the languages of this world, even the languages not of this world, of angels, but didn't have love, I would be just like a big noise. You know what a brass sounds like? Our youngest girls just started playing the sax. What a noise in the house. That's what a brass sounds. It makes a lot of racket, a lot of noise, okay? That's what it is. But it's empty. It's empty noise. A clanging cymbal is an instrument. It shows you that it's an empty noise. What does that speak to me about? Fame. Fame. Yes, fame. The world promotes for fame. It's always, I've done the bitter thing. I was better than him. I was manager of that company and then of this oven and then the other. Or I did the longest jump and then somebody else did even the longest than I did. It's all about wanting to be. That's what the world promotes. That's what society that we live in is looking for. I've got muscles, I can do better. I see some people that are really ridiculous, can't even walk because they've got so much muscle. That's how it goes. It's a question of being better and greater and bigger. That is fame. This is not so. We come to God, when you take that possession that God gives you, you're not that. You're not a sounding brass. You're a sounding brass if you don't have the love of God, okay? Let's go on. Second problem that we face with society, verse 2. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Yes, it's written there in Scripture. I am nothing. You know what the problem is in society today? One of the greatest problems? You can read psychological material on it. Identity. People don't know who they are anymore. My second daughter's gone to grammar school. Supposedly people with brains go to grammar school. And they don't know who they are. What we're talking about. Yes, it's a problem. It's nothing to do with intelligence, dear friend. Identity is because you have an empty space in your heart that needs to be filled with God's love. That's what it is. So until you grasp that concept, you will not satisfy your identity. You need Christ tonight, dear friend. You need him desperately. The moment you accept him, and we'll see how this happens, you will know who you are. And you will no longer say, I am nothing, but I am everything. And I'm going to tell you what you will be. It's amazing. Third aspect, and then we come to the end. in verse 3. We're going on, you see, and again, another little section with a lot to explain about. Yeah? Verse 3 says, if I shall dole out all my goods and food, and if I deliver up my body that I may be burnt, but have not love, I profit nothing. What is the third problem in society? We want to gain something, don't we? We want to have more money so that we can buy a better house and a better car. And it's a constant, constant desire, isn't there? It's just become a fashion in Italy now, so they do this downhilling with mountain bikes. And I just cringe. They come in, they've got several colleagues, they tell me the price of these bikes. They cost us cars. 10,000? 20,000? A bike! But do you hear them speaking at the coffee machine? Oh, I bought this bike, and they say a big name. Oh no, but I've got that one, it's got special brakes and all the rest, you know. What are we talking about? What are you talking about? If you don't accept Christ, you profit nothing in your life. It's not me telling you this. I could have no authority to tell you this. God's authority. God tells you this. Okay, we can come to the end now. Got it. John 17. John 17. I'm going to read the last verse of the chapter. Verse 26. Before we read it, think. This is Jesus speaking. It's not me speaking. This is the famous Jesus who came into this world to manifest God's love, who died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And he's speaking to you. Here, he's speaking. Listen to it, what he says. It says, I have made known to them. Who's them? You. You. Them. The ones that have heard about him. Thy name. Speaking to his Father, the God that sent him. Who is he? Love. God is love. That love. I've spoken to them. I've revealed thy name. And will make it known. How much I love that bit, that little addition, dear friend. You know why? Because it means he's still doing it today. He's still doing it today. God is still, Jesus is still revealing God's name to you today. How amazing is that? And then it says, that the love with which thou, so you, God, has loved me, may be in them, and I in them. Look at it. It's coming. What is it? God's love can be in you tonight. How does that work? You need to do one step. One step. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I believe in? Believe that he is God's Son. Believe that he's come down here in this earth. He really did. Believe that he really died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And believe that he's revealed to you God's name. If you believe this, this is wonderful news. God's love is yours. It is in you, my dear friend. So that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them. You know why I'm so sure of this? Because it does not depend on any man or any knowledge, any science, any philosophy. It depends on what Christ has done on the cross and what Christ has revealed and what he can assure that you have it. So as you go out of this room, not only you can't say that you don't know about God's love and you don't know about the definition of love, and of the manifestation of love. But if you want, you can go out of that door being sure that God's love is in your heart. How can you be sure? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you do this tonight for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.